This is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. Today we have with us Dr. Stephen Britt, and we are connected by Skype from here in Cincinnati to Maryland. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Vic. Thanks for having me once again.
This last week was the March for Life in Washington, D.C., which is a protest march against abortion and against the Roe v. Wade decision, which was made back in 1973. I believe that over 100,000 people were there. And normally, every year, this particular protest doesn't gather that much news, but this year it did.
I actually wasn't aware that it was going on. We're fairly new to the area. And of course, it's right up the road. We're about half an hour from D.C. So I actually ended up knowing people from our congregations who attended. And so that kind of came to the forefront for me and got me thinking about it more than I would if I just saw it on TV, because it's right over here close to home.
I know that what's really been whiplash for me is that 1973, I had already been in the ministry for 4 years. And before that, it was just another world, because the subject of abortion, and when I was still in high school, was obviously murder and murdering, you know, an unborn child. But now it has come to a point of where it just naturally, every year, 600,000 abortions are performed, according to the CDC in America, that this has become something which is a kind of birth control. And around the world, 40 to 50 million abortions are committed. And it's kind of makes your mind swim, especially for those of us who came from one set of ethics, one set of beliefs and mindset, to where we are right now, where who knows where this is all taking us. And just this past week, we had Governor Cuomo in New York City, or in New York, I should say, sign into law an abortion law that would make late-term abortions, I mean, up to the day of birth, possible. And you say, where can it go beyond this? Will they be killing babies after this? I mean, how much further can they go?
Yeah, and a couple of things just came to mind while you were talking. First of all, the numbers of children that have been aborted since that Roe v. Wade decision in America and throughout the world, even just in 1 year, 40 to 50 million, it is absolutely staggering. I mean, it's hard to imagine that, and just the incredible loss of life and the loss of potential. I'm glad you talk about kind of your perspective, having lived through that decision being made to now, because when I was growing up, abortion was still something that had a lot of stigma to it, but it's something that had become accepted as part of American life. Now, there's always been, of course, the voices on one side trying to undo what had been done there. But I feel like during my lifetime, I've certainly seen a steady progression in our society towards a greater acceptance of abortion just as a reality and as a right. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this bill from New York. I actually read some of the language of it. Is very loose. It's not just if the life is in danger, but it says very vaguely the life and health of the woman is endangered. And with such a vague definition, it really just opens the doors. It's one more step towards saying you can do it no matter what. I mean, what constitutes a person's health? Well, if you have a baby, my wife just had a baby 10 months ago, and I tell you what, it takes a toll on your health, even if your baby's healthy. it can be construed that way. And it won't surprise me if in another 10 years going along this path, that becomes the interpretation of that bill, that it impacts your health, no matter what. So you have that right no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing about this is there's a total loss of fear of God. In fact, there is no God. I mean, I do believe that the people that are the masterminds behind this, how in the world can they imagine that there's a God who inspired any type of writings or scripture that, so quickly and so stridently condemns this type of activity? And I guess if there is no God, and if there is no fear of God at all, then anything goes. I mean, for that matter, all ethics can go out the door, because ethics how in the world did ethics even come to be without any type of supervision of what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong?
Yeah, and that's something we've touched on a number of times. It seems like our discussions of science and the Bible always wrap back around to a secular worldview versus a biblical worldview. But I don't think anything in my life has helped me to understand the reality and the necessity of there being a creator who made life than seeing the development of a child in the womb and then coming to be born. And in fact, I have a scripture about that. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, yeah. So you have the same thought. This scripture, if you just pay attention to the language, it's an extremely intimate expression about God's involvement in an unborn child's development. And so Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." And I mean, reading that, it'll give you chills. But if you really think about it, there's some scientific statement in that. I mean, in verse 16, where it says, "Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed." And a few hundred years ago, before DNA was understood and all this, have read that and thought, well, that's just, you know, poetic about God being able to see what's going to come to be. But, you know, now we understand that when, sperm and an egg come together, that DNA combination at conception it's a new creation of life. And, you know, from that DNA pattern that's formed in that moment, a lot about a person is determined, you know, what color eyes will have, how tall they'll be, their hair color. I think that's a striking example of how science, first of all, is consistent with biblical statements, but second of all, just the greatness of God and the depth of understanding revealed in his word.
Well, looking at what the Bible has to say, this was written, you know, 1,000 years, you know, before Christ, and mm-hmm. they had this knowledge already of what was happening in the body. I'm not sure exactly what people figured. They just knew that the conception took place. It was as a result of man and a woman coming together. You know, that they kind
of I can tell you, actually, one of the early medical theories before, you know, the sperm and egg and fertilization was understood and discovered, there was one belief that, you know, the man's seed contained a tiny copy of himself, like a small person was entirely contained in the man's seed, and it was implanted. You know, they didn't understand that the woman had the egg and that there was a unique combination of the mother and father. And I think that's a pretty interesting way. And when you look at ancient theories of how the world worked, you know, things like they thought your vision worked by a beam coming out of your eyes and hitting things and bouncing back. It's amazing some of the stuff they thought about and how far you can get with just pure philosophy versus experimentation. These statements in here, I think it's just amazing how they are consistent with modern science as we discover more about the physical world, showing that God had that understanding long before. In verse 13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb." Just looking at the great mystery, even today, medically and scientifically, it's still a mystery how, you know, you go from a single sperm and egg, right, and having this one cell that just begins dividing. How does it know when to stop? How does it know when it gets to the edge of the fingertips? And how does it know when it gets to, you know, how long this leg is supposed to be? And how does these cells over here know that they're supposed to turn into a kneecap? And they know not to ever turn into anything else once they're a kneecap.
It truly is amazing, just the building blocks of it all, but not just the building blocks, but also the fact that it's so complex. Let's take a look as to what the Bible has to say about the origin of life. When you take a look at the fact that Jesus Christ himself, who was God in the flesh, came through human reproduction. That's interesting in itself because Christ was conceived in a human being, in Mary, the mother of Jesus, through God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Once that Holy Spirit created what was to become Jesus, that was a life. It wasn't something that was to kind of bang around there, you know, and kind of form and, hey, now it's Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit that came and embedded this quality called life that no man is able to even come close to reproducing on his own or creating from nothing. I'd like to hear your take on this.
You know, if we want to talk about the biblical perspective about when life begins, the life of Jesus Christ is the example to go to, because you've got the conception by the Holy Spirit. You were even told that when Mary, pregnant, you know, having Jesus conceived in her, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Elizabeth being 6 months ahead of her pregnant, and what happened in that story? You know, Elizabeth goes up to Mary, and the baby within her, John the Baptist, kicks because he was being filled with the Holy Spirit, because he was in the presence of, you know, the Messiah that was coming, and this life that had been formed in there. So you've actually got a double example there, because it shows that some level of human perception in John the Baptist before he was born, and then rewind even 6 months younger than he could have been. So we're talking about Jesus being at 3 months or less, you know, very early in pregnancy, also being considered a life. And if you just think about it, even disregarding that from the standpoint of, okay, well, what would have happened if anything had happened to Jesus after, between that time when the Holy Spirit conceived him in Mary's womb and the time that he was supposed to be born? It would have been a loss of life. And I really don't see how you can view that any other way according to the biblical account. The life began when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her.
You know, when you have these concepts, so as you state so very clearly, you know, embedded in your rock bottom thinking, you would fear to mess with that process. But I guess if you don't fear, but if you don't believe in a higher power or that there's anybody kind of watching over your shoulder, everything goes. But to me, it's frightening to mess with either the process or even to edit the process or to step inside of something that's already on its way well developed.
So you're touching on a couple of things that have also been in the news recently. There have been a number of things over the last several years that have touched on this from a scientific standpoint. One of them is stem cell research. And I remember about the time I was in high school is when stem cell research was really getting started. The idea is that when a baby is being formed in the womb, like I talked about those cells, you know, this one knows to become a kneecap. Well, before it's a kneecap, it's a stem cell. And a stem cell has this ability to turn into any kind of cell. And so medically, that's a very interesting property. It's one that can, it's a property that has a lot of potential for medicine and therapies of all kinds. But when they were originally discovered, they were only known to exist in fetuses and unborn babies. And so, you know, you have this whole controversy over how these stem cells could be obtained, because a number of the methods to obtain them resulted in the death of the embryo in order to obtain the stem cells. You know, flash forward several years, there's a lot of debate about it, a lot of uproar over the whole thing. And they ended up finding different ways to get stem cells. They could get it from the umbilical cord later in a way that doesn't affect the child after they're born. They found ways to actually get stem cells from adult tissue, which they were surprised to even find that adults still had stem cells kicking around in there.
As angry as we can become, and as absolutely devastated, you know, about the fact that abortion is not just something that was done as an emergency, but something which has become part of the planning of the future, where a child could be terminated up to the day before its birth. It just shows something very, very drastically wrong with our society. But we don't have to fear it. We don't have to fear the outcomes of it, because God will stop short this type of activity before it destroys mankind. Thank you for joining us Inside United. Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.